Hi, I'm Lois.
And I'm Stacy. And this is Whose Girl Are You? What are we talking about?
Today we are talking about vaccines.
Oh, yikes.
Today we are attempting to talk about vaccines because ain't nobody around got opinions about that, do they?
Sheesh. You want to start an argument? Just bring up the word.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's ready to defend their point of view.
Yeah. Pounce.
Yeah, I honestly, for quite a while now, I've shied away from the topic of vaccines because it seems to get people really upset if you don't agree with them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why this specific subject brings up so much anger.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it is?
Well, I think that because of the political climate, it's just one of the maybe it's the biggest for the people who are against the vaccine. We'll say the vaccine because, you know, when you say the vaccine, they know which one you're talking about. It's just evidence of government corruption and like government overreach.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. Like, there are things going on that we are not aware of. We know there are things going on. We are not aware of what they are, but they are unsettling to a typical conservative American.
Okay. So I agree with that, that there's a group of people that are saying they get upset about it because they feel like their rights are being trampled on because of government overreach and stuff like that.
Right.
So here's the other side that I see that gets really upset. And I'm just talking vaccine in general.
Okay.
Whether it's childhood vaccines or the most current push for a vaccination in our current climate is the difference between this. There's a group of people that says every vaccination, if the doctors say to get it and the government says to get it, you get every single one and it's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another side that maybe doesn't do all the vaccines, maybe doesn't do any vaccines because they believe that they cause harm.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're standing. And instead of both sides saying, well, that's okay that you feel that way and that's okay that you feel that way, let's just do our own thing. It doesn't ever stop there because the people that believe in getting all the vaccines done think that the other group is selfish mm-hmm. because they're piggybacking off of herd immunity.
Right. And they're harming the greater good.
And they're harming the greater good. Yeah. So it's kind of like there's this false narrative out there that says, don't you care about their people? Don't you care mm-hmm. if I die? And mm-hmm. That's a really horrible thing to say because that's not what the group that's not vaccinating or doing limited vaccinations, they do care about the greater good, but they also care about the individual in front of them that they're trying to force a vaccine on. Example, a child who has no say if the parent is going to vaccinate them or not. The child has no say. The parent is the one that makes these decisions for the child until they turn 18.
Can we relate right? this? Can we relate this to baptism?
No, we may not. Stay in this lane.
I had to say it because it popped into my head.
We're not going there today. So they do care a lot. It's just that if you have seen a child that's been injured from mm-hmm. a vaccine,
mm-hmm.
it changes your opinion.
Yeah. The thing that the other side will say is, how do you know it was the vaccine, though, that actually harmed them? Where's the evidence for that? Because can you prove it? I don't know. Maybe you can.
Okay. Here's one example. I had a friend. She still is my friend, but we had kids the same age and I was vaccinating as well. And she was vaccinating. I had a girl though. She had a boy. They got vaccinated and the kid was, it was for the MMR, which is, mm-hmm. I think is it 18 months?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the 18-month MMR shot. So. And before the shot, the kid was running around, climbing on things, speaking like an 18-month-old would, you know, a few words put together mm-hmm. here and there, very active, making eye contact, just a normal, healthy 18-month-old. The kid got his vaccine and within the next 48 hours was very lethargic and irritable and whatever, running a high fever, all of these things. And she called the doctor and the doctor said, well, did he just get a vaccine? well, yeah, well, I'll just give them Tylenol. You know, it's sometimes just a reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay, because we trust the doctors. And then she slowly watched over the next few weeks and months, the kid revert to not making eye contact, not talking at all, crying a lot, stopping walking and starting to crawl again, just very unhappy, and just didn't know because she had other children too. And so we have a way of excusing things. Well, the doctors say it's okay and this is what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's just, now he's sick with some sort of virus or whatever.
Right.
And kids get crabby and they go through stages. Oh, maybe he's cutting his 2-year molars. You know, we have all these things that we think of that, well, it might be this and it might be that. It wasn't until a number of months had passed. And I don't know if she came across an article or what it was, but I remember when she told me, I think my kid has autism. And it started like as soon as he got that MMR vaccine.
Wow.
Like everything was fine. And then that day something changed and it never went back to how he was before. So can she prove, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt, like, right, medically, is there like a test that can be done? No, right, there's not necessarily a test.
Right. But you know what? You see evidences before your own eyes. But
I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the kid is still autistic.
Yeah.
You know, he is now in his 20s. He's a wonderful kid.
Yeah.
But he will never be able to live on his own or drive a car or any of this stuff. And she believes it's from vaccines.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think it is too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't believe enough because, well, I did. Okay. I knew that there was a problem. So then when I had my next kid, which was a number of years later, because there's a higher rate of it in boys than there is in girls.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe, and I'm in one camp that says, I do believe that there's some genetic predisposition that gets triggered by a vaccine.
Okay.
Right. So I'm not saying the vaccine alone is causing it. I'm saying it's causing a triggering effect in someone that has a predisposition.
Okay. Yep.
That's my belief.
Yep.
And for some reason, boys have more of a predisposition to this than girls. So when my second one was a boy, I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll wait until, because he doesn't go into daycare or anything, I'm a stay-at-home mom, how about I just don't vaccinate at all until he's a year out from kindergarten, because I'm going to send him to public.
Mm-hmm.
So when he turned 4, 4 and a half, I said, let's get those first shots.
Mm-hmm.
And we spaced them out as well. I didn't just dump all of them into him all at one time.
Yeah.
And I tossed a couple to the side. I said, we're not getting the varicella or whatever, the chicken pox, and like, mm-hmm, a couple that I was just like, I don't want to do those ones, but let's get the MMR. Let's get the polio. Let's get the, you know, these ones.
Yeah.
So I started getting these for him. And when we got to the MMR, he got it. And that day he was like, I put him to bed. He seemed okay. You know, kids are a little bit irritable after vaccines anyway. But he seemed okay. And I put him to bed and he woke up an hour after I put him to bed screaming at the top of, like a scream, like not a normal scream.
Oh my word.
And I went and got him and he's almost 5, right? He's 4 and a half, over 4 and a half, something like that. And I'm holding him and I'm telling him, look at me, look at me, look at me. And he's turns his head toward the sound of my voice, but his eyes are looking in the opposite direction as if he can't have control over his eyes and focus. Freaked me out because my sister's an epileptic. Mm-hmm. And to my naked eye, it looked like one of the staring seizures that my sister would have.
Right.
And I start bawling and I'm yelling for my husband because he's already sleeping. And I said, oh my gosh, our kid has autism. Like, I mean, I went just off the deep end right away. I called my friend. She was in a different time zone. So I was able to call her, the one I was talking about at the beginning of the story.
Right.
And she's like, settle down. She's like, lay hands on him, pray over him. I'm going to pray now for him, you know, watch for this and that in the coming days. And she had since then had found out about some protocol where you could, if you caught it within the first little bit, you could help the kid's body rid itself of whatever the poison was that was doing this.
Right.
So she said, settle down, whatever. And I didn't see any major consequences after that. That night, I didn't sleep that night, hardly.
I'm sure not.
I kept checking on him. I was like, I made the biggest mistake of my life. So I understand the weight that a mom feels when they're trying to make these decisions on, do I do this or do I not? Because there's someone that's going to tell me, if you don't do this, your kid could die of meningitis or something. Why don't you get this shot?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you care if your kid dies? And it's like, oh my gosh, don't do that to me. Of course, I don't want my kid to die. But mm-hmm, I also don't want my kid to die from a vaccine or get vaccine injured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard choices to make, and you have to make them all the time because what's the schedule now? It's like every time you bring your kid in for a well check, they're asking if you're going to get some vaccine.
I know.
I think it's gotten worse since I've had kids even.
It's way worse, I think. Our youngest are both about the same age, in that 14-ish range. And I did the same thing with my younger children.
You waited?
Yeah. Let me start back at the beginning when I first started having kids. My oldest is...
What year was he born?
He was born in 84.
Okay. So 84, what was it like?
Yeah. He's almost 40.
Yeah.
In 1984, there was no question of delayed administration of vaccines. There was no question of skipping certain ones. It just was, your doctor says, this is what you do. And these are what they have to have before they start school.
Right.
And you just do it. Well, really quickly, really early on, there were a couple of things going on. So I had my second baby. My first was not even 15 months when I had my second. So I was busy. Life was a crazy roller coaster of babies and diapers and feeding and laundry and and keeping them alive, right? That was the number one priority.
And keeping yourself alive.
Yeah. Success at the end of the day meant nobody died. But really early on, I was very busy. And some of those vaccines just kind of slipped later than they should have been.
Okay.
I was not, and I still am not, a super, you talk about well baby checks. Well, those didn't always happen.
Okay.
Step
back a second though. So when I met you, you were doing home birth.
Yeah.
When did you start that?
My second was born at home. I did my first in the hospital.
Okay. So let's go all the way back to that then. Your first being born in the hospital in the 80s, mm-hmm. 84, you said?
Yep.
Were they trying to give him vaccines the day he was born?
I don't think so. But I think it was like at that first checkup, which is what, a week or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't remember that they wanted to give him a vaccine in the hospital. Well, you know what? Vitamin K. I bet they were doing vitamin K already by that time.
Yeah.
So probably.
Is vitamin K a vaccine though? Or is it just a vitamin?
I don't know. They call it a vaccine, I think.
Do they?
They probably call it something else than vitamin K. I don't know if vitamin K is a vaccine or if it's a vitamin. I know that at that time, there were not as many. They were not, you know what though? They were, I don't know. I feel like doctors had a little more grace for spacing them out. I don't know.
Some doctors still do.
I'm going to go back again. So first baby born in the hospital, second baby born at home.
Yeah.
My whole mindset changed from I need to be taken care of, the hospital has to do all of this stuff, to there have been babies born since Adam and Eve. Every person has been born in one way or another.
We all have belly buttons.
We all have belly buttons, and this is not an illness. I'm not sick. I don't need to be at a hospital because I'm sick and I need their expertise, medical expertise. So, you know, it just became like, okay, this is just a natural process. My body knows how to do this. It was made to do this. Now, there are things that you can have in the hospital, like
drugs. And I'm listening to you the whole time and I'm thinking, yeah, I agree. But what about the drugs? That's what I wanted about. And I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, I know this is a natural process and I know women from the beginning of time have been doing this, but we are now in modern times. And so can we use drugs?
Right.
Can we?
You can. Absolutely. Not at home.
Exactly.
So. But I think there's something to learning how to manage it too, or being taught to manage it more than the hospital. I don't know. This is maybe just me. I'm not a medical person. So caveat up front. I don't like doctors. I don't like, I have dear friends, dear relatives who are doctors, nurses, medical professionals, and I love them dearly. And I love that they do what they do because doctors are necessary to help people when they're sick or have a broken arm or whatever, that's a good thing.
Right.
It's a good vocation. It's a godly, blessed vocation. But I think the overall Western medicine has is it called a God complex? What's a God complex when they think they know everything and they have the ability to be God? I'm sorry. There are things we can't cure. There are things that only God can take care of,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for sure. And I mean, I get it. By the time I got to my third kid, I did not take any drugs in the hospital for the delivery of him. Mm-hmm. And it was my best delivery of all three, to be honest.
Yes.
So, but I hadn't until that point, because I never went through any of the classes or anything, and right. I didn't know what I was doing.
That's so, what I mean.
Okay, my body knows what it's doing, but the fact of the matter is I thought the doctors knew too. So I went in and did what the doctor said, and it was a miserable experience, but I just figured that's just how it was. Mm-hmm. Well, the last time I went, I actually had your niece mm-hmm. and my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. I left my husband at home with the kids because mm-hmm. this was my third. And they knew how to coach me. And they taught me during that delivery mm-hmm. how to do it. How to let my body do it.
Yeah. And how to relax so that your body can. Because you know what? I do the same thing at the dentist, right? I sit in the dentist chair and I've got my arms on the armrest and my hands are just resting on the armrest. And I notice that my shoulders are clenched up around my ears. My hands are clenching the armrest as tight as I can. My whole body, like my heels are touching down. And the back of my head is touching down and the rest of my body is like a board, hardly touching the chair. Mm-hmm. And I spend my time in the dentist chair going, okay, bring your shoulders down. Let your hands relax. Let your arms relax.
Yeah, that's exactly it right there. That's the coaching for, if you have a good coach that's coaching you through a delivery. And I still did it in the hospital, mind you. I still mm-hmm. was like,
yeah, no, that's, yeah.
just in case, like I was kind of that person that's like, just in case something, whatever. That's totally. What made me feel more comfortable. And I think a woman should deliver wherever they feel most comfortable to deliver. Yes,
absolutely.
But yeah, when they taught me how to do that and how to relax through, no one had ever told me. Here I am on my third kid. Mm-hmm. I'm always having these moments where I feel like I should have known this sooner.
I know.
Like always having these moments.
I agree.
So I try to tell people this when they're having their first. I don't know if they listen or their ears are just blocked, because when we're having our first, we know everything, mm-hmm. we're just like, yeah, we got this.
And our doctor knows everything. So they're going to tell us what they tell us and we're going to believe it.
Yeah. When they told me, I don't remember which one it was, told me, if you can relax during the contraction actually will be pushing the baby down where it needs to. Like it will actually be working in the process. If you tense yourself up, just trying to just grit it out and tense up and whatever, as you're having the contraction, it's not allowing it to do what it needs to do. So now you're gonna have to have that many more. And mm-hmm. that made sense to me. That clicked. I said, okay, so if I relax through this most painful thing I've ever been through, mm-hmm. they only last a minute or two and then they mm-hmm. go away. And then it's like, you're just sitting there like a normal person. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you feel it coming back on again. You have to relax during that again. And if you relax, you'll have to go through it less times.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense to me. Now I'm going to do that. And I did. And sure enough, the first two took 12 and 11 hours with an hour and a half and 2 hours of pushing for both of them. And that third one, because the girls were like that, they wouldn't even let me go to the hospital until I couldn't walk, until my contractions were so painful I couldn't walk. They made me walk up and down the street because my sister-in-law was a smoker and she knew she couldn't smoke in the hospital. So she was smoking, walking up and down the street.
Coaching me.
Yeah. And then she's like, finally I was bent over, air conditioning unit on the side of a house.
at a stranger's house.
It was at someone's that we knew.
Luckily, you lived in that neighborhood. Yeah.
We were going look at their garden. And they were all looking at the garden. I could hear them talking about like the fig tree or whatever. And finally, I was like, guys. And they looked over and I was like, I don't think I can walk anymore. And they were like, okay, we can go to the hospital now. And then I had to walk down this big, long hill. I had to stop when I had a contraction. I got to the car. I had to stop again. I was having a contraction trying to get into the car. And the kids were playing in the yard. My daughter and your niece's daughter, they're best friends. They still are. And they're like, where are you guys going? And Debbie says, out. We're going out. And they're like, well, where are you guys going? And she's like, out. None of your business. See you later or whatever. And her daughter spent the night at my house.
Yeah.
And they were having a sleepover. We're like, have fun at your sleepover. We'll be home when we're home. And we didn't tell them where we were going because they were like 10 years old, maybe something like that. And so 10 or 11. And we, you know how the kids that age can be. You don't want to worry them. So off I went. And I walked into the hospital at 9:30 and I had the baby a few minutes before midnight.
Yeah.
So with no drugs and very little tearing and very little, it was the best experience ever. Not like the first two with the drugs. So going back to like what you said about like, I don't like doctors. I don't like hospitals. I get what you're saying. I don't think it's that you don't like the doctor specifically or like the person themselves. It's like
agreed.
The model.
The model of Western medicine is treat.
It's a sickness model. Yes. It's not a wellness model.
Yes. Yes. And I think there's a lot, not necessarily only with childbirth. I think that deals with a lot of illnesses. We just treat the symptoms.
That's it. Right there. And so even with the, delivery in the hospital, they're treating your symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They're not thinking about the whole person and the whole everything.
And the process that has to happen. I mean, this is what has to happen. The cervix has to dilate so that the baby can come out. What's the best way to do that? Well, I agree that not clenching every muscle in your body to screaming point is a good step toward that relaxation and dilation of the cervix. But just putting a Band-Aid on the symptoms is not helping. Your body's your body's still not, your brain has to be turned to, I don't know, how much does our brain have to do with it? This is so turning into rabbit trail after rabbit trail, but I think our brain has so much to do with our physical well-being.
Absolutely. Our perspective is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever we believe, we live out of that.
Yeah.
Right. So it comes back to our Christian faith as well. Like depending on like who we believe God is, do we believe God is who he says he is? Or have we made up a false narrative on who we think God is? You know, did Jesus do and was he what the Bible says? Or like, have we made up a false narrative for what the culture has said, who Jesus is and what he did?
Mm-hmm.
And it really can impact the way we live out our life and the way we treat other people. Which is why our theology is so very important that we believe and that we know what the character of God is, right?
Yes.
It's all perspective. We'll live out of that. So our health, same thing. So vaccines, same thing.
Yeah.
Going back to that, if we believe that vaccines are the way for humanity in general to move forward in the most healthy way, we're going to push those as hard as we can because we believe that. And I don't think there's people out there thinking, these vaccines are horrible, but we're just going to push them on people anyway. I believe that they're good, right? And so otherwise they wouldn't push them so hard. Mm-hmm. It's just that we must try to maintain some autonomy to our own bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange to me that if someone wants to get an abortion, it's like my body, my choice. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to having a vaccine and I choose not to get a vaccine and they try to force it on me, I'm not allowed to say my body, my choice.
I know.
So that's where I have a problem with this selective outrage.
Yeah. And the strange thing about that is abortion being my body, my choice, it actually isn't your body. You're affecting someone else's body.
Listen, it's their perspective.
I know.
We're going right back to it's their perspective. It's not their body, but it is how it's affecting their body.
Yeah.
And so therefore, anything that affects their body is their body in their opinion. No, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, no, I get
that. It's their body either.
Right.
But I'm trying to understand where this mindset is coming from because it's just so difficult to deal with, because with vaccines, I'm like, if you want to get vaccinated with every new vaccine that comes on the market, by all means, it's your body, it's your choice.
Right.
But I want you to know that if I choose to get zero vaccines,
mm-hmm.
it's also my body, my choice. And here's the most insane thing about the vaccine debate that I want to simultaneously pull my hair out and laugh. Like, it sounds like I'm going mental.
Yeah. Sometimes feels like that, I'm sure too.
When someone says, actually, no, I think it was the school system that did this, that said this to me. I said, I needed a waiver to get my kid into public school because my youngest has zero vaccinations because of what happened to the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
I finally was like, that's it. Like, my perspective has shifted. I'm now just like, not going to. I had my third kid 5 years later. He had zero vaccinations. He's been fine so far. So good. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get a vaccine waiver to put him into public school. And they said, they sat me down with a nurse and did this whole like, you know, do you realize how dangerous this is that you're not getting your kid vaccinated? I said, yes, I am assuming the risks. I understand the risks.
Mm-hmm.
She said, are you sure this is what you want to do? And I said, I'm positive this is what I want to do. I've done the research. I have come to this conclusion. Okay, well, I just want you to know that if there is like a measles outbreak or something like that, your kid will not be allowed to come to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And then I said, well, why would there be a measles outbreak if only the vaccinated kids are in school? And she got so mad. Yeah. And like, there's this weird, like, if you're not vaccinated and I'm vaccinated, like, I don't want to be around you because it's like, you're unvaccinated. So you're like the germs.
Mm-hmm.
But why would I be scared if I'm vaccinated?
I know.
So it's like, do you believe in the vaccine to protect you or not? Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't force vaccines and say that they're going to protect you and then in turn be afraid to be around someone that's unvaccinated.
Right.
Explain that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. There's no rational.
And honestly, I'm just like, honestly, if someone's vaccinated and doesn't want to be around me because I'm unvaccinated, they probably aren't people that I really want to hang out with anyway. I'm just saying, they're probably not my people.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
They're not my people. I mean.
No, I get that. I know. I get that.
And partly because they don't want to be my people because they can't stand people like me. And I'm fine with that. I am not everyone's cup of tea. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that should be learned sooner. You know, just right from the get-go, we shouldn't be like telling kids how to get people to like them and, and how to fit in and stuff. We should say, you know, you're not going to fit in. A lot of people won't like you. Let's just tell them the truth right from day one.
And it's okay. Find the people that do like you. They're your people.
Mm-hmm.
Hang out with them. They got your back. You got their back. And it's okay. You don't have to be everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah. I looked up the vitamin K.
Yeah.
It said the vitamin K is needed for blood to clot normally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Babies are born with very small amounts of vitamin K in their bodies, which can lead to serious bleeding problems.
So the thing is, your body on day 8 produces vitamin K.
Yeah.
So what that shot is to protect them in case there is a reason for them to be bleeding
in the
between day 1 and day 8.
Yeah, it said the reason they give it at birth is to protect your baby from developing dangerous bleeding, which can lead to brain damage and even death. So.
Well, of course, you have to put that in there. Can lead to, you know, and if your baby needs a surgery or something immediately, yes, please give them the vitamin K. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. The wordage.
Oh.
Remember when the,
I
don't know if it's still a thing. I think there was a big lawsuit and I think they ended up shutting it down. But that vaccine that they were giving girls for a little while there to prevent from sexually transmitted diseases. What was that called?
Yeah.
Oh, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
Let me look it up.
So while you look it up, because you know what I'm talking about, the commercial, it was obviously a while back because I was watching commercials. I haven't watched a commercial in a decade, but the commercial said may prevent some types of sexually transmitted diseases or something. It may prevent some.
Yeah.
But it may prevent none. We don't know. Like, you know what I mean? That's like what's, I'm always like, what's the flip side of that comment?
Yeah.
It may prevent some. That was like the worst. I'm like, whoever did that sales pitch was like, you didn't convince me on that one. Sorry.
Is it HPV?
HPV, yes. Yes. And then there was girls that were becoming paralyzed and a couple died and whatever from taking that vaccine. And I think it got shut down.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not.
Might have just been the one manufacturer or whatever, but.
Yeah.
So people say there's no such thing as vaccine harm or like vaccines don't cause harm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There is a government, a United States government fund set up for vaccine injury people, vaccine injured people.
Wow.
The very same government that says vaccines don't cause injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another one that I'm like, how do you explain that? And I learned that one through a person that I know who is a nurse, and not just any nurse, but she's like head of surgery and recovery at a major hospital type of thing. Like she's, mm-hmm. she's the one that was telling me about it. And she struggled a lot with vaccinate or not vaccinate, because she was working in that hospital, like coming across a lot of people and not knowing what she was bringing home. Right. And then had to struggle through that. What do I give my kids to protect them from that? But also I've seen some stuff that's happened, and I've read a lot of the research, and she understands the testing that they've done on these. And so she's been very picky and choosy about what she gave her kids and when she gave them. And she's the one that told me too, that you can actually ask for the MMR to be split.
Broken up. Yeah.
So that it doesn't have that, I think mercury, is it what's in it?
I don't know.
When they have the three together. So they didn't make it easy for her, but she had them split. So she had measles.
Yep.
And then however long later she had the mumps, and then however long later she had the rubella. So, you know, there's those options too, but they're not making it easy on moms to make these decisions.
No, exactly. I think that's another thing that to me does not make sense. It's not rational to pour a whole pile of stuff into your baby at once.
No.
I think that's just so unwise. Just from a common sense. I'm not a medical professional. I can't tell you medically or physically why, other than why would you do that? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Because, Lois, your baby might die.
I know, but you know what? Breaking it up, it just makes sense to me.
Okay. Because the vaccine, here's one of the reasons why. Because when they bring a person, people don't think about it as much, right? They're like, oh, your kid has to get three shots today. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, this one has three in it. This one has two in it. And this one has two in it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting seven vaccines, actually. Mm-hmm. But they're mixing them up. Yeah.
Because we put it all in MMR. That's one.
Right. DTP.
One plus one equals one. Don't you know?
The diphtheria shot, same thing, right? The DTP.
Yeah.
Diphtheria.
Tetanus, pertussis.
So this is what they do. And when I looked back at one point, you know, because my dad was like, well, you know, I don't know why I always talk like that when it's my dad does not sound like that, but you know, he's just like, well, you know, when you guys were kids, we gave you all your vaccines. I was like, yeah, look at me now. I've been in and out of doctors with undiagnosable problems for my whole life.
Yeah. Well, there were a ton less vaccines when you were little.
11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Between birth and kindergarten in 1976, there were 11.
Yeah.
And I think they said it's somewhere around 100 now.
That's crazy.
From birth to kindergarten, if you got every single one that they're saying you should get for your kid.
That's crazy.
They just keep adding them. And so I say that there's not someone out there being like, oh, we know these are probably bad, but give them anyway. There might be at the top somewhere, some people that are just thinking about the bottom line of the dollar. Right. Not to be a conspiracy person, but if you created something that the government told everybody they had to do, even if it just cost $1.
Yep. Just a dollar. That's all.
But they made it mandatory that every single person in the United States that was born would have to do it. Think about how much money you could make.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So now rush to market because of an emergency.
Yeah.
Make it mandatory and then create a booster that has to be done every 6 months.
Yeah.
How much money do you think?
You got a money machine. That they say money doesn't grow on trees, but that almost seems like it, right?
Someone's got a money tree. It just ain't me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it, I'm not going to say I haven't gone down that path and thought there's someone or a group of someones
mm-hmm.
that
are profiting from this.
That are profiting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's always follow the money. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I had a cousin who she's overweight and she smokes and she has health issues and whatever. So when all of the pandemic hit, she was very scared
mm-hmm.
for her life and got the vaccine as soon as she could and was very pro-vaccine and very much, you know, whatever. And I wasn't. And we, you know, we got in a little bit of an argument about it. And I said, if you are so scared about your health, the number one thing you do is change your diet and quit smoking, because that's going to give you the best chance of survival, is to put your body in a state of health to fight off something that it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's why the fight ensued, because I can't keep my darn mouth shut.
Right.
But I love her. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I'm not going to be dangerous to you being around you being unvaccinated if in fact the vaccine works.
Mm-hmm.
So that mm-hmm. this is where this whole thing, I'm coming full circle here.
Yeah.
Well, just recently I talked to her and she had gotten all the boosters as well. Now she's having all this weird heart stuff. And she said, one of the doctors actually told her they're seeing this in people that have gotten all of the COVID vaccine and the boosters.
So yeah, there is something to that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if I want to know what it is, because those are huge, huge ramifications.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like you said, rush to push this through as fast as possible. That doesn't happen. You don't mandate something that has no testing.
No.
I mean, they do decades of testing, not just a year, not just 6 months, not just however long it took.
They got that out so fast. It was
under a year.
It was scary how fast they got it out.
I know.
That was a whole political thing we can't even get into.
I know.
Like
I know.
Because of the political timing of everything and all of that, it was just something else, you know?
Yeah.
But if we had to wrap up what we thought about vaccines.
Yeah.
All I can say is, it's hard to do your research even, because it's hard to know what to trust and who to trust anymore, which makes me just feel so sorry for anyone making these decisions.
Yes.
But also, you know, pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Find out, talk to your family and see if there has been any predisposition in your family to it. Because come to find out, on my husband's side of the family, there had been multiple negative reactions in his sister's children
okay.
to these newer vaccines. And so mm-hmm. I had chosen then, because of that, to not get, because remember, like my first one was fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
She actually has she's a type 1 diabetic. Don't know if it plays a part or not, yeah. but she's yeah. my sickest of them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one had partly vaccinated until he had negative reactions. And then I stopped. He's a little less sick than her.
Yeah.
But still has a lot of issues. And then my third one has had none. And he's, you know, third time's a charm. We make all sorts of jokes about him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Took us three times to get it right. Like we're always joking within the family about it.
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder if it has anything to play in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did pray about it. I did ask the family. I found out about that. A lot of them had decided against them because of that very issue. I said, maybe there is a predisposition in these kids through my husband's genetic side of the family. And so that's what I'm going to do. Now, if there's been no problems on either sides
mm-hmm.
and you decide that because of where you travel or what kind of school system your kid is in or different things, you know, everyone has to weigh individually what the best thing is for that kid, for that time, for their family and for their genetics and for their, you know, and just really just try to make the wisest choice you can. And ultimately what? We trust God.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a vaccine injury, we trust God to help us through it.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't vaccinate, we hope and pray our kid doesn't get whatever those diseases are that we're supposed to be prevented by it. And we trust God if they get it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like either way you go, it's a roll of the dice. And each person hopefully can be respectful of the other for making different decisions.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think the same thing. My oldest children were fully vaccinated. Really early on, I went to a delayed vaccine schedule, partly because my life was a crazy busy chaos of trying to raise children. And there was just enough in the common sense department, I felt like, that I was like, do we really have to do this to a tiny baby? Can we just like back off a little? Can we space these out a little?
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a better way to do this.
I did the same thing with my second. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right. And I was, you know, my first was born in the hospital. Thankfully, all of my children have been very healthy.
Yeah.
Everyone's been very healthy. Those who, you know, my first one was vaccinated on schedule for the first probably year. And then I was like, things were starting to get busy. I was having another baby, whatever. And at that point, I was becoming more educated. That's when I started researching homeschooling. That's mm-hmm. when I started. Home birth. Sorry. That's when I started reaching home
birth. If you start thinking you're not going to vaccinate, it's going to lead to home birth. And before you know it, you're going to be a homeschooling mom. Consider this.
Wearing a denim warning. Jumper.
So, yep. just kidding.
The dominoes must fall.
But it does seem like there's some.
No, I was researching home birth.
Yeah.
My friends were doing birthing at home. And it was the most wonderful thing.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It was absolutely amazing. So yeah, I was becoming educated about a lot more than only vaccines. And I put my kids on a delayed schedule. And all of them have been vaccinated. They haven't all had all of their vaccines. They have had my last, I actually got the chickenpox. Is it varicella? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
My last one I did because there's not chickenpox around. There's no outbreaks.
Then why get it?
Well, because there are going to be. I know, right?
Actually,
the thing is, chickenpox is something you do not want to get it as an adult.
How old were you when you had chickenpox?
10.
I was 17.
And that's the top end of what you want to be. Did you have them badly?
No.
Okay.
I had them so lightly, they said I could get them again.
Yeah. Well, and then shingles is a thing too.
So none of my kids have had chickenpox and none of them have been vaccinated for it. My daughter just recently said, because she's grown now and because she already has an autoimmune disease, she was asking, do you think I should get that? And I said, you know, it might not be a horrible idea for you to get that at this point because you don't want to be getting that in your 20s.
Yeah.
So she was toying around with the idea. So, you know, maybe she will, maybe she won't. Here's another weird thing. It's easy for us to jump on the bandwagon of like, well, this is what our parents did. So this is what we're going to do. And I think that's what most of us do. And so even with my daughter, I asked her, are you vaccinating? And if she would have said, yeah, I would have been like, okay. Because everyone has to make their own decisions. I would not try to sway her one way or another. But she has decided not to. And I said, oh, how come? And she's like, because you didn't. And I was just like, well, I actually did. She's like, yeah, but then you didn't. And I was like, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's just not, but I, you know, you do have to use your common sense, like you said, and you know, she is getting to be in her mid-20s and hasn't had chicken pox and the doctor kind of brought it up. And I said, you might want to consider that. Yeah. So she has gotten a couple, she was working in a hospital and had to get a couple as an adult, to work in a hospital. There was a couple that she needed. Mm-hmm. And she said, what do you think? And I said, I mean, yeah, whatever, go for it. I think we keep an eye on like, if there is a negative reaction immediately after having it and it doesn't resolve within 24 hours, I would run as fast as you could to a natural doctor and tell them what happened and see if they can give you something to rid your body of whatever your body's reacting poorly to. Mm-hmm. That would be my second thing. If you're going to vaccinate, to watch for that and to have a good natural doctor and tell them, because if you tell a medical doctor that your kid had a negative reaction to that, they're not going to do anything for you. They're going to say, give Tylenol.
Yeah. Put them
to bed. Yeah. And don't even get me started on giving Tylenol because just don't.
I have a vaccine story for you.
Okay.
Involving myself personally. Mm. I got pregnant for my first. I was the ripe old age of 17.
15. Just kidding.
17. I was 18 when he was born, but barely, yeah. Only a few months.
Wow.
So went to the doctor for my prenatal. They do your blood work. And the doctor comes in and he's like, you're not vaccinated for rubella. Rubella is German measles, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So you're not vaccinated for rubella. I'm like, well, I was vaccinated as a child. Here's my vaccine card, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're not protected. So you need to be, and they can't give it to you when you're pregnant. And it's very dangerous for pregnant women to get German measles. So, you know, don't get near anybody who has German measles. I'm like, okay, I've never heard of anybody in my entire life having German measles, but I'll be really careful. So my baby was like an hour old. I wasn't exposed to German measles the whole time I was pregnant for him.
Praise God.
Praise God. And surprise, surprise, right? I've still never known anybody who had German measles, to my knowledge. I don't know. I've heard of measles,
there's fewer than 20,000 cases worldwide per year.
Yeah, exactly. So my baby's like an hour old. I don't even know if he was that old. And the nurse comes in the room and she's like, the doctor has this on your chart. You need to have this German measles shot before, you know, you have to get you immunized for this. I'm like, okay, because they didn't want it to get dropped, which I can appreciate.
True.
I don't want my baby to have birth defects from German measles. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
So a year later, I was doing home birth. I started out my prenatal care with the same doctor, and then we moved in mid-pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to do a home birth. And I was doing a home birth with Cindy Dunleavy on the East Coast. She's the midwife that at that, you know, in the 80s, in the 90s, she was who everybody used. And she was amazing. I get my blood work done and I'm not immune to German measles. I had had it as a child. I'd had the vaccine as a child. I had had the vaccine when my oldest was born. I've been every time I go in there and they test my blood, I'm not immune to German measles. It like goes away.
This has happened to my sister-in-law. She's the only other person I've heard tell this story. And she has had the same thing. And she has like 9 kids or something too.
I know.
So
the doctors are freaking out every time.
She's like, I'm done with this. I'm not going
to. I did too. I did exactly the same thing. The last time I was like with my last baby, 15, whatever years ago, I was like, I'm done. You're not giving me that shot again. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just goes away. What do you want me to do? It doesn't work for me. It's crazy. But the stress they put you under, this is, I guess, what my reason for telling that story is, the stress that doctor put me under. I was 17. I believe everything that falls from that doctor's lips, and the stress he put inadvertently on me to stay away from people with German measles when I've never even heard of German measles ever. I've never known of anybody that's had it.
Yeah. Who has? Wonder if anyone has.
And how am I going to know, right? I'm in the grocery store and the guy next to me has German measles. How am I supposed to know?
You didn't even have Google back then to look up what a rash looked like from German measles.
I know, right?
Like I just did when you were talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what it was. Didn't know anything about it.
No, it just strikes fear into you for no reason.
Yes.
Exactly. Or fear into you with nothing you can do about it.
Yes. Nowhere to alleviate it.
No.
Yeah. And I think there's, like I said, I love the medical establishment, but that treatment of everyone gets treated the same.
Yeah. We're not cattle.
We're not cattle. And everybody is an individual. And everybody has their own specific circumstances,
mm-hmm.
predilections to disease, like mm-hmm. whatever.
Right. I think sometimes if you sit down and hear someone's story on the why they choose not to, why they choose to, why mm-hmm. they choose this specific whatever, if you sit down long enough and ask somebody, well, why is it that you chose that? And, you know, I want to hear your story about that. You'll be very understanding about it.
Yeah.
I think if you're only talking about the stance you have and why your stance is better than the other person's stance. That's where in the argument lies. Yeah. So, you know, can we learn to be more understanding with one another? Well, in order to do that, we have to slow down and really hear what is motivating, what is their perspective on it.
Yes.
You know, why have they chosen this? I'm really, and stay curious.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't want to fight about it.
Yeah. Stay curious is the biggest, biggest thing right there.
So most of the time when that word comes up, I just keep my mouth shut unless I'm asking questions and being curious about them. But yeah. I'm saying it's one of the ways, it's one of the topics I've learned to keep my mouth shut about because
over the last year, last couple of years.
Many, actually.
Before the pandemic?
Yes, before the pandemic. Because I chose not to vaccinate my third one at all. I don't typically tell anyone that. Now I'm saying it on a podcast. But so I guess I am getting to the point also where I don't care if people know. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not trying to hide it.
Right.
It's just that I don't always have the mental energy to defend my position.
Yeah, for the fight.
Yeah. And nor do I really have to defend my position.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to state your position, then someone might look for you to defend it.
Right.
And so I'm always curious why people have chose to do the things that they've chose to do.
Right.
Whether it's home birth or homeschool or not vaccinating or eating a certain diet or doing a certain thing. Like, I'm always curious, why did you do that? And what is the benefit to this? And maybe I can learn how to do things a little bit better or differently or whatever too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, stay curious and try to just be nice to each other.
Right.
If you have differing opinions on vaccines.
Right.
And I think I've talked enough about vaccines.
Yes, I think we have said enough about vaccines. I think you're right that we should stay curious, that we should educate ourselves.
Yeah.
Like learn about these things.
And guess what? I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yes, reserve the right to change your mind and realize that the medical establishment are not God. They do not know everything.
No.
And you can make decisions, medical decisions for yourself and for your family, for your children, and just breathe. Like it's going to be okay.
Yep.
We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at whosegirlareyou@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And whose is spelled WHOSE. Thank you so much for the visit, Stacey.
Great as always.
Let's see do it again.
Yeah, next week.